a screaming type message. It may not be one of those that you just go home, wow, all pumped up. But I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to think about this message. It's a real thought provoker. It's a lot of fun. The title of the message is, Do You Despise God? Do you despise God? Well, the first thought in your mind is, man, despise is an awfully harsh word. I mean, if you think about it, we reserve the word despised for really despising things. I mean, we reserve the word despised for things like meatloaf. I mean, I despise meatloaf. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if enmity was a strong enough word to use for meatloaf, I'm in. I just don't like meatloaf. Matter of fact, if it was put in front of me, I can just about bet you'd be offended because I probably wouldn't eat it. It just disgusts me. I don't know why. It's just one of those things as a kid you just can't get over. I had 6 or 8 dozen bad meatloafs in my time, and I'm definitely certain that I'm not going to go trying number 13 and 14 dozen. Just not going to do that, okay? So it's one of those things that, man, you don't think of the word despised very often. We think of the word despicable maybe, but if you despise something, you really don't like it at all. At all. So to say, do you despise God, I would bet you I mean, 100% of the congregation here would say, no way. Absolutely do not despise God. There's never been a day when I despise God. There's absolutely nothing that you can tell me that would let me know that I despise God. Turn to 2 Samuel. We're going to turn to chapter 12, and I'm going to have you stand when you get there. I'm going to read the first 9 verses, and I promise I won't stop. If this is a sword drill, everyone else lost but Betty. Oh, no, she beat you. We was way before you, dude. Just stop it. You didn't even know it was a contest. Second Samuel chapter 12, starting in verse 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were 2 men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save 1 little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, and to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that doneth this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Do you despise God? Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, I'm coming to you tonight. You came down this morning, and it wasn't my fault. Lord, thank you for the blessing that it was. And Lord, I'm asking you again, please, please decrease me to nothing and increase yourself to everything so these people hear you speaking tonight, not me. Because Lord, I can't do it without you. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. David despised God? To hear those words is, man, that's crazy. To think that somebody great like King David would despise God. Called him a man after God's own heart. He was the man that, actually the boy, that the Lord said, go fight that giant. And he did. And he won. And he was the boy that lifted up that big sword and chopped off Goliath's head. He was the guy that remembered that victory so well that the Lord had given him that he actually had tents just for Goliath's armor that he would tow behind him to make sure he remembered that victory. Yet here we read that there's a time when David decided that he despised God. If you ask David, David, and I'm sure when Nathan very first told him this, David said, whoa. No way. I don't despise God. Remember me? I'm the king that God put here. Remember me? I'm the man that the Lord wrought so many victories. Do you remember me? Yet he was the man that Nathan said to, thou art the man. And as David took all this in, I'm quite sure that even after Nathan said this to him, it didn't maybe ring in his ears at first, the truth of it. Because I'm sure that after he said, and how many of you have been there, where you have gone through something and you get to that point where you're low and you ask yourself, how did I get here? You ever think about that one time in your life? How in the world did I get here? I'm telling you right now, an alcoholic would look you right in the eye and say, how in the world did I get here? A drug addict, one of the worst you can ever think of, would look at you and say, man, how did I ever get here? Somebody in financial problems that are just getting ready to file bankruptcy would ask you, man, how in the world did I get here? And I think that David at this time would say to Nathan, how did I get here? How did I get to this bond? You've got to understand something here. King David had committed premeditated murder. The apple of God's eye. The man after God's own heart. Now, unless I'm speaking to a crowd that is so much better than he, it seems to me that maybe we've been here ourselves once or twice, and you might say, Brother Dave, I do not or ever have despised God. But let me go over a few things with you. This won't take long. I just want you to think. What did David do or not do to get here? Number one, and we deal with this one. I believe this is the starting place, the foundation of 99% of sin that happens. I believe this is it. He was discontent. Did that turn off on me? He was discontent. Let me show you. It says in verse 7, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king. He was king. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He gave him victory. I gave thee thy master's house. He lived in a palace. And thy master's wives into thy bosom. He gave him great stature. I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah, combined them together and put them all under him. And if that had not been enough, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. The evangelist made several different comparisons to this. I love this. He said, boys, I've been to meetings. And he said, a lot of times these missionaries will pull in with these buses, these beautiful buses that are just decked out to live in. And he said, man, if I was a person that had a bus like that, if I was a guy that had a beautiful bus camper that I could go in, a beautiful thing like that, boy, what a job I could do if I had that. Have you ever said that about anything? Man, wow, how happy would I be if I just had a big house to live in? Boy, how great would it be if I just had a beautiful car to drive, like a humongous, like a big, huge car to drive. And then he said, How much does it cost to fill the tank again? How much does it cost to change a tire? He said, oh, Lord, please, don't give me a bus. The last thing I need to have today is a bus. David looked out on this rooftop. He had everything. Can I help you tonight? I wonder if the Lord wishes you to be happy with what He has given you. Now, it's easy to compare yourself to other people. It's easy to say, and I've talked about this a lot when we do when I was teaching marriage classes over there in the Becker building. This is easy to do when you compare yourself or your marriage and your wife and yourself to another couple. And you get to the point, well, if they only had the problems I had, or if I just had the small problems that they have, can I help you out a little bit? Problems are problems, and they're just the same size to everybody who's got them. No matter where you're at, my wife's not going through what Lizzie's going through right now. She's not, but she has. She's been in a spot where she's had surgery. She's been in a spot where I thought she wasn't going to make it. Now, I know that sounds weird because she's so young and she's very healthy, but a husband goes crazy when his wife's on the table. I don't know if you know that or not, but a husband goes crazy, and I'm already half crazy anyway, so you put her on the table too, and it just drives me right over the edge. As a matter of fact, when Natalie was born, I cried like a little baby. I thought my wife was going to die. And my problems were huge problems, but you may have walked in the room and said, what's the big deal? She'll live. But understand this, everything that everybody has is just as big to everybody as it is to everybody else. Boy, that doesn't make any sense. It does to the people who've got problems in here, I'll tell you that right now. Okay? Just because the problems are different doesn't mean they're not big. Man, I wish I had a big house. Do you want the big gas bill? Man, I wish I had a big house. Do you want the big sweeping, ladies? I'll get a robo-sweeper. I don't know how them things work, but that would be cool, wouldn't it? Hit a little weight scale, goes around the room, looks like a weight scale. My luck, I'd be asleep in the middle of the night, step on that thing, and take me all over the place. Screaming all the way, get off me, fat boy! I've talked about this before, but do you realize that not being content with what you have leads you into sin? Coveting what other people have leads you into sin. But you don't get to coveting until you're not happy with what you have. Understand that. Coveting doesn't come. If you're happy with what you have, you're not going to covet. Real simple. I don't believe Lucifer falls if he's happy with who he is. Hear me. Hear me. Lucifer became discontent. I'm not happy hovering over the Lord's throne. I'm not happy up here in heaven with the Lord. I'm going to go down to the earth, be king there. I will, I will, I will, I will. Because he wasn't satisfied. Now understand this. I don't want you to be satisfied with who you are as a Christian. You can be satisfied yet hungry still as a Christian. That's a special thing that God gives you. You can be happy with who you are, but not what you're going to become. You can be happy and go after more. But understand, when it comes to this old world, let me help you with what this one phrase. This old world has nothing to offer you. This world has nothing to offer you. David had everything. If he had all the wisest master's house, what good is one more woman going to do? And I'm not talking against women. I'm just thinking, what in the world is wrong with David? My wife is so much more than I can possibly handle. I don't even think I could even think about another girl. David had loads of them. What's he going to do with one more? But he wasn't content with that. He wasn't happy living in the palace with their care. He wasn't happy with all the money. He wasn't happy with all the things. He wasn't happy with You got to understand something, folks. You're not going to be happy with all the things. You're not going to be happy with all the money. You're not going to be happy with all the stuff. You're only going to be happy when you realize that those things are yours because God gave them to you. What you have comes from God Almighty, not who you are. We mess up a lot. We don't give God near enough credit in this old world. We decide, well, I'm a self-made man. You are so full of yourself. Don't think of yourself higher than you ought to think. God makes men what they are. Amen. I don't want to live in a one-bedroom apartment. Maybe that's what God gave you. Maybe you should be happy with what he gave you. Well, it's not as good as the other guy. How do you know that? Because it doesn't look as good? David looked with his eyes upon Bathsheba and said, man, I don't have her. And by the way, that was the only reason he wanted her. Because he didn't have her. If you look with your eyes and say, man, I've got to have that because I don't have it, let it go because you obviously shouldn't have it. He was discontent. The Lord gave him all and would have given him more. Do you realize what that said? I would have given unto you such and such things. Who knows what such and such is? Have you ever asked for such and such? The funny thing is, we will go out and take out a loan to buy a brand new car, and we won't ask God for something else. Maybe the Lord gave you that little car that you have because that's what you can afford right now. I would to God, I would have listened to the Lord a long time ago with all of my finances. I am a moron when it comes to finances. I should have included God years and years and years ago. When I first started doing things, the Lord would have told me, hey, you don't need a credit card, son. I'll give you what you need, and I'll give you such and such things. Now, you might say, well, you ought to have one credit card. Wonderful. Have one credit card. But I got to be honest with you. Do we really have to have them? Seriously. He was discontent. And being discontent, number two, he became disobedient. Look at 2 Samuel, chapter 11. And you've heard this before, but I just want you to think with me. How many in here have ever been discontent? The rest of you lie. Okay. Chapter number 11, verse 1. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David did what? Who was supposed to go forth into battle? The kings. And where did David stay? He stayed behind. Because he was discontent, he became disobedient, and he was not doing what he was supposed to do. Understand something, folks. There's message after message after message in that one verse right there. But understand this. Because he was discontent, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. It's amazing how somebody becomes discontent in church and they refuse to serve. It's amazing how somebody becomes upset with what the preacher said this last week, and so they become discontent and don't serve in church. Nathan comes down to you today and he says, thou art the man. How did I get here? How in the world did I get to a spot where I despise God? How in the world did I get to a spot where I despise his commandments? What's sad is when you get to heaven, you are going to expect to have a mansion there. You are going to expect to have streets of gold there. You are going to expect to have the Son of God walking around saying hi to you. We as a people are going to expect these certain things from heaven, yet you won't do anything for him while you're here. Man, that preaches good. You should amen that every time. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we are a discontent people. We look at the Lord and say, you know what, Lord? I know that you're going to give me those things when I get up there, but while I'm down here, I'm going to want some things too. I really believe, Brother Carey, if we could go and take a glimpse of heaven and see what we're going to get, it wouldn't matter what you had here. You wouldn't even care. You wouldn't care. And I'm not against having things. I'm against you being consumed with having things. Because if you really take everything that you've got, and I want you to think about this with me. I thought about this when he was preaching this message, when I heard this. If you take everything you have and then take yourself out of the picture, that means die for me. Just think about it for a minute. Die for me. You've heard the statement. Most old people say this statement. You can't take it with you. If you died today, what good would your stuff do? You better hope the Lord puts some clothes on you when you get there. Because you're not taking them with you. I mean, I don't know how that works, but I have to assume the Lord's going to clothe you in something better than what you got on. See, what's amazing to me is this. We worry so much about materialistic things that we become discontent with God. And because of our discontentedness, we become disobedient. We are not where we're supposed to be. And people get mad at me all the time for this, but it's okay. I believe this all my heart. If the church doors are open, you ought to be here. I'm thankful for the crowd tonight. What a great crowd for Sunday night. Fantastic. You probably won't come back after you hear this message, but hey. You ought to be in church. Here's why I want to warn you about this. I can't come to church because I got other things going on. I don't care what they are, by the way. It doesn't matter to me. Whatever you want. When you leave here and go there, what are you going to say to God? Well, Brother Dave, you're a preacher. Because you're a preacher, you want to go to church. Yeah. Because you're a Christian, ought you not want to go to church? It's only good for preachers. Church. Do you know why you don't like going to church? Because you're not happy with how church is going here. Ooh. I'm not happy because Pastor Skyver takes 30 minutes in his announcements. I'm not happy because Brother Skyver does this and that, and it just doesn't make me happy. There's doors. Walk through them. Ooh, that's mean. But understand this. The Lord doesn't want your discontented, sorry self in here. And neither do we. Now, the reason I'm saying that is this. I wonder if you being discontent is on you. I wonder if everything really is fine here. I wonder if Pastor Skyver's preaching really is okay. Here's the scary thing for you. What if he is preaching exactly what God wants him to preach to you every single time he comes to this pulpit, yet you are going to go to heaven and say, you know what, I just didn't like his preaching. The Lord's going to slap you in the face and say, that was my man of God, and I gave him those messages.
Amen.
But you despised me. Amen. Well, Brother Dave, how dare you? I don't like your preaching either. If I was sitting in your seat, I probably wouldn't like it either. But I'm up here with a microphone. And understand this. If you think I haven't lived this, you're crazy. What hurts my heart is I have lived this. What hurts my heart is there have been times I've come to church and maybe not been happy. There has been times in me as a human not happy with the life that the Lord has dealt me. There has been times when I said, you know what, Lord, I don't like what's going on. And you know what the Lord says to me? You be content with there what you have. Because I've given you what you've got. Don't go out and get something else that is not of me. Because he was discontent, he became disobedient. And it came to pass, verse 2, in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed, understanding that he's not out to battle, understanding that he should be fighting the war. But because he's not fighting the war, this is where he is, and this is what he's doing. That David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And instead of looking away, she was really pretty. And he didn't look away. Understand this. He saw something that he didn't have. His eyes were opened to that which he did not have. As being king, he thought about, how can I get what I don't have? And then the third thing, he does evil. David never dreamed he would get here to the evil part. And what happened going up to the evil part is not necessarily, it's very innocent. Maybe David was tired. Maybe David didn't decide not to go out to battle because, you know what, it's been a hard day. I would to God that we knew how many times we didn't go out to battle because of something. We decided not to serve the Lord that day because our hangnail was bothering us badly. I can't go to church because the corns on my feet are so bad. I can't go to church because I can't sit in the pew long enough. I can't go to church because of all these other things that are going on. Understand this. You're hurting yourself when you don't come to the house of God. But David decided, you know what, I don't want to go out to battle. I'm tired and I don't want to go out to battle. And because he was not content with there with what he had, he decided he was going to go ahead and stay home. And because he stayed home, he got to do something he wasn't going to do. And if you asked him at the very beginning, David, are you going to covet another man's wife? Do you think he didn't know what the commandments were? Think about that for a minute. Isn't there a commandment somewhere in there? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. If he could see her house from his roof, it was probably a neighbor. He probably knew the commandment, thou shalt not. It probably was something that was in front of him once or twice in his life. And I'm sure that he knew that if he did these things, it would probably be wrong. But if you asked him just before he did it, David, are you ever going to do this? He would say, no way. You'll never see me coveting another man's wife. And I guarantee you, if you would think about yourself, you'd say, I would never covet another man's wife. Yet if you look long enough, if you look long enough and you get yourself discontent, boy, this is good. I didn't even have any of this planned. This is good stuff. Men, not only should you be happy with your spouse, you should be elated with your spouse. Well, you just don't know about this old battle axe. Always seems like you're the one swinging the axe, brother. Always seems like you're the one picking her up and beating her head against the wall all the time. It just seems like you're the one that makes her mad. And if I said, amen, ladies, they say, amen. He's the one. I get a kick out of men that can't wait to get rid of their wives. They can't, I mean, I wish I had another wife because she wouldn't do this, she wouldn't do that. How do you know the next wife's not going to beat you up? How do you know the next wife is not going to be like Charles Manson's daughter or something? How do you know that? Yet you covet because you're not happy with what you've got. Understand this. I am absolutely ecstatic with the wife that my Lord has given. She completes me. She completes me. And understand this. The reason that is because she fits what I need. If I had a wife that didn't try to help keep me in line, man, I'd be so out of sorts. I'd just be a mess. Yet he gave me that person so I can be happy. I don't need to go anywhere else. I hear this all the time. I'm going to trade in my 40 for 220s. You can't handle your 40. I love that. I'm going to trade my 40 in for 220s. Those 220s would kill you. You ever think one time that you've got a woman at home that loves you in spite of who you are? Yep. Listen to me. Hear that now. Hear that. In spite of who you are, Romeo. In spite of who you are, Crashanova. In spite of who you are. Look at yourself in the mirror one time. I love it. The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be. Neither's the old nag at home, let me tell you. You're not Buck Rogers. You're more like Duck Dodgers. David had lots of women. And it's crazy to say that, but I have a wife at home that loves me. I don't need anything else. She does my laundry. Fellas, if you have a wife that does your laundry, smile big. Because you put some foul clothes in the dirty clothes. Really. If you have a wife that sweeps up the floors and mops, man, smile big, because I make a mess of the house so fast. My work boots come home, tracking mud throughout the house. There's a little scrub room we have now. And she has a mop and a bucket right there in the sink all the time because she's married to me. And I walk in, and every footprint all around, comes right behind me. Because she loves me. Because she wants to be that helpmeet for me. Understand this. If David would have been content with what he had, the next evil things would not have happened. If you'd be content with what you had, it's amazing how easy it is to walk a straight line being content with what you have. Being happy with what the Lord has given you. Being happy that you don't have an 18-karat gold $500 necklace on your neck. What's amazing to me is I don't mind having jewelry, except unless you're a guy. I'm not really a big fan of having guys with necklaces on. It's not. If you have one, don't meet me in the parking lot afterwards and beat me up over it. But I don't particularly care for having necklaces on, okay? I don't want to wear any kind of lace. Neck lace or any other kind. That was If you asked him just before this happened, he wouldn't have been on that rooftop. He would have said no. But because he was discontent, there he was. And being discontent will lead you to do things that you never would have imagined you would do. Never. Have you ever found yourself, and please don't answer this, have you ever found yourself bashing another Christian because they do something that you don't? Have you ever found yourself bashing, let's just say, the preacher, because you thought you could have done a better job preaching the message that day? You ever thought that? That is so discontent. And you're leading yourself to do evil. You're leading yourself to talk about people behind their back. You're leading yourself to do things that you never thought you would do because you're discontent. The third thing he did was the evil. And if you look out in verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. Thank the Lord for that. Well, at least she was clean. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. Understand, you know the story here, but Uriah refused to come in the house. He's going to lay outside because he's not going to be in a nice warm house when his men and all the others are outside. He was content with what he had. He's not going to come out of the battle. He's not going to lay inside the king's house and eat meat with the king. He's not going to do all these things with the king while his men are out fighting. One thing I love about our boys in the military, Kenny White was home and he said, you know what? I said, what would you like to do right now, Kenny? He said, I'd like to go back to my men. I don't want to be here while they're out there fighting because that's letting them down. That's awesome. That's awesome. And Uriah was just like that. Uriah was a soldier, said, yeah, I know how the battle's going. Here's how it's going. Now let me go back. He didn't realize he was fighting a battle at home too. He didn't realize he had to worry about his king taking his wife. He didn't realize he had to worry about his king, the very one he loved and adored, the very one he served. He didn't realize he had to worry about his king. So he was out doing his job. Thank God that he was doing his job. And David murdered him. Send him to the vanguard of the assault. Put him right in the front and then have the men draw back, leaving him there by himself. That dirty, rotten dog. Could you ever imagine King David doing this? And I guarantee you, Brother Carl, if you ask any man that has done the things that David had done, he would say to you, no way would I ever do that. This is a warning for you tonight. This is a warning saying if you're not content with what you've got, you better get yourself right with God. Because this is where you're heading. You're heading in the evil direction. You're heading in a place, well, I'm not happy with the way things are going. Scratch your butt and get glad. That's West Virginia Miss Rosie talk. If she says that to you, run. She's never being happy at that time. See, what the problem is, we get an eye of our own things thinking, I know what we should do. I've got the idea. I know how it needs to be done. And that did. Then they did that which was right in their own eyes. The Bible talks about that. Don't worry about what your eyes tell you. Worry about what God's eyes are telling you. God told him to go out to battle. God told him not to look upon that woman. God told him not to covet another man's wife. If he wouldn't have done those things, would Uriah be alive? You bet. But he killed him. He killed him because he had something that David didn't. And David wanted what he had. And David did everything he could to get it. Not only did Uriah die, David's baby died.
Yep. Yeah. That's right.
Now let me show you what to do. You say, well, I've never lived there. I'm glad. But I have. I've lived in a place where I've been discontent. I've lived in a place where I've been disobedient. Thank God I've never gotten to evil. We talk about Saul. King Saul was a very, very good-looking fella, big, tall guy. First king. He's a king of Israel. He was despising a lot. There was a difference between him and David. Let me show it to you. Turn to verse 13 through 16 of chapter 12, and I'm all done. The Lord levies his punishment. And then David said unto Nathan in verse 13, I have sinned. Saul always blamed somebody else. And a lot of times as Christians, we will blame somebody else. The reason that I am unhappy is because Andrew made me unhappy with the message. He told me something, I heard that, and Andrew made me unhappy, so it's not my fault because Andrew did it. It's not my fault because Bob Shell's not doing his job because he's not doing his job, but bless God, I can't do mine. And I'm going to tell you right now what's amazing to me is, though we need to work together as a church, we need to be together as a group. Understand this, it's a group made of many members. And those many members need to do their job. Don't worry about how everybody else is doing their job. You just do your job. Be content with the job you have and do it well. If you're content with that, and hey, by the way, if you don't have a job yet, you ought to get one. Because this church is about to explode here, and when it does, we're going to need help. I just don't know what I'd do. Don't worry. Somebody knows what you can do around this church. And what happens is Saul decided, I'm going to blame somebody else for all my faults. David says, I have sinned. He realized it. He said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also hath put away the sin. Thou shalt not die. David was forgiven immediately. The Lord put away the sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Read that with me one more time. Why don't you look at this? Because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. What happens is this. We decide we're not going to do what we're supposed to do, Bob. We decide we're not going to be happy. We're going to be discontent with what's going on here. Do you know what that does? That empties pews. How? Would you like to come to a church, Brother Brian, where the people tell you the preaching here is very, very dry, not very good, certainly not exciting around here, and most of the people are mean and hypocritical? Well, wow, where do I sign up? Where do I sign up to be at that place? That sounds like an insurance seminar. But if you are excited and you don't worry about being, I'm completely thrilled with Bethel Baptist. I love this place. It's so great to be here. Things are happening. The waters are being stirred. People are being saved. The Lord's coming down. It's so great. Amen. You know what's going to happen? Pews are going to fill.
Yeah.
Because if you say, well, Brother Mark Thompson, dirty, rotten, flim-flutter, that's in the Greek. It gives the people on the outside great occasion to blaspheme this place. Well, do you know, you ever heard this statement? Do you know what happened at that church? And by the way, Christian people cannot wait to tell you what's happened. We are so filthy when it comes to our open sepulchers that we put cake in every Sunday. I'm going to tell you right now, understand this. If you're discontent, close your mouth. because more than likely it's you and your problem, not our and our problem.
Yes.
Understand this. If you become content and excited about this place, the doors are going to just bust wide open. I love a Christian that leaves a church. Don't stop the tape there. I love a Christian that leaves a church and doesn't say a word. They find themselves another church, and they get involved in that church. But do you know how often that happens, Brother Kerry? I'm going to tell you, maybe 0.5% of the time. Usually when somebody's discontent, Brother Coolidge, they leave the church and don't go anywhere else. And usually all they do for the year is talk about how they're not in church because Brother Carl was mean to me. That usher and greeter in Bethel just didn't shake my hand. And because of that, that church is just bad. You know what's sad? Many people leave a church over something dumber than that.
Yes.
Become discontent with what's happened because they're not getting the proper touch that they need to get from the preacher. He didn't even call me this week. How dare you? I almost want to put out a one call now every once in a while. Hey, this is just a happy call. This is just a happy call, letting everybody know that we're thinking about everybody. Amen. I have sinned against the Lord. Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David and was very sick. I got to stop. I don't want to stop, though. David was a sinner. Saul was a sinner. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. Chiefest. Saul was a person that blamed somebody else. You may be that, you may not be that. But Saul lived a terrible life. David was a sinner. But the great thing about David was this. He was a great repenter. He was a sinner, a great sinner. But he was a wonderful repenter. And the great thing about repentance is, you don't have to confess it to me. You don't have to confess it to a preacher inside of a booth with a grate between you. You can go straight to God. Say, you know what, Lord? Lord, I've been discontent. Lord, I tell you right now, I've been coming to church and I haven't been happy. Lord, I haven't been happy with what you've given me. Lord, I haven't been happy with my credit card debt, even though you didn't give me the credit card debt. I did that all on my own. Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not thrilled with how my life is going. Lord, I'm not happy. But Lord, I'm so sorry that I put myself here. I'm so sorry, Lord, that I haven't been happy. Lord, I want to look to you today and I want to be satisfied with what I have. I want to be happy with what you've given me. And I promise you this, if you're happy with what the Lord's given you, the Lord will give you such and such things. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll give you what you need and he'll give you what you want. But you got to be happy with what you have. Do you despise God? If you're discontent, you're despising God. You may not show it yet, but your day's coming. You'll show it because you're going to go from discontent to disobedience to doing evil. If David was subject to it, what makes you think you're not going to be? Do you despise God? If you do, please get it right. Get it right tonight. Don't wait another minute. If you despise him, beg him for forgiveness. Become a good repenter. Become somebody that looks to the Lord to say you're sorry, because the Lord's already forgotten it. All you have to do is ask him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I pray with all my heart that you would take any discontentedness away from me. Lord, there's been times that I've just looked to you and said, man, Lord, I don't understand it. And I certainly has been times I haven't been happy. And Lord, I want to be happy. I want to be happy with what you've given me. Lord, please, use me in a great way, and whatever you want. I don't care about what I want. Lord, I just want to be used by you. And Lord, I'm sorry for any times that I've despised you. I'm sorry for any times that I've sinned greatly against you, and I know I have. Lord, thank you for forgiving me. And Lord, I pray that this room would be moved today to be content, happy with what they have, because that's what you've given them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, how many can say, you know what, Brother Dave? Lately, I've been very discontent. I've not been somebody that's been happy with what the Lord's given me. And I want to tell him I'm sorry today. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put them down. The room was filled with them. And I'm going to tell you something right now. You may not feel that way today, but there is probably going to come a day when you're just not happy. You know, the Lord never wants you to live that way. He wants you to be happy with what he's given you. I just wish sometimes we could recognize that it's what God has done for us, not what we've done for us. How many can say with an uplifted hand, Brother Dave, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I know for sure. No, I'm 100%. I got it all settled. Put your hands up real tall. You may put them down. How many can say, you know what? There's one thing that the Lord hasn't given to me yet, and that's the gift of God, which is eternal life. I need to have that. I need to be saved today. I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't get that settled, don't worry about being content. How many can say, you know what? I don't know that I'm going to heaven when I die. Put your hand up real tall. I just don't know. That means I'm talking to Christians, and I'm happy about that. Seek him out tonight. Seek him out tonight and let him know how much you love him. I promise you, King David would not have said, oh yeah, I despise God. And I promise you that if you told me tonight, you don't despise God either. But I guarantee if we search our lives, we can both say, you know what, there are times when I have despised God because I have not been content. Let's get it settled tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you again for this time. Be with us in a special way during this invitation. Please move in a great way tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mark, what page are you on? Page 17. Please let's stand while the invitation is played.